Father, I just put myself in your hands once more and pray that you would unscramble what I've written and send it out in a way which touches people's hearts and minds and serves you, Lord, and glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's the title. Deadheading. Deadheading. Psalm 42, 1 to 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? As some of you know, we've just come back from a holiday in Spain, southern Spain, and it was hot. You thought it was hot here, it was incredibly hot there. Very hot, very dry, very dry. In hot places like that, everything depends on access to water. We need water to live, but it becomes more and more obvious in places where there is little rain. And it gets very hot. So hot it wears you out and makes you tired. When we left the UK, we asked our neighbour if he'd kindly water our outdoor flowers for us, because we knew they wouldn't survive without being watered every day. He did a great job for somebody who's 92, and I feel he was glad to have been helpful and be appreciated. At that kind of age, it would be easy to feel that you've lost reasons to exist. Maybe you've lost your partner, maybe your other siblings, and maybe even sons and daughters within your own family. And there will be days when you wonder what your purpose in life really is. And many people suffer with that question well before they reach the dizzy heights of 90. Often I'm here for him, and on this occasion he was there for me. Anyway, like I said, he did a great job. He even coped with the hose coming off the tap and problems like that. And like I said, it's been very hot and dry. And recently our lawn is only green in odd places. Generally brown, but green in odd places. And it doesn't take long to realise that the only places it is green is where it's either received a bit of water or there are deep-seated weeds. What's a weed? I thought it might have been a family service today with loads of children. I thought, I'll ask them what a weed is. What's a weed? No, it's not where toffee's been. A weed is just another plant growing where you don't want it to. That's all it is. You decide what is a weed and what isn't. Amazingly, the weeds with long, tough roots cope with drought much better than shallow-rooted grass, which tends to show that it's suffering from lack of water very quickly. Clearly, it pays the weeds to reach down into the earth in search of moisture, and that's what they do. And what's more, it makes them really difficult to pull out. They go like that. Some of these weeds have got roots like this, and you think you've pulled, I mean, like dandelions, classic example, pull, oh yeah, I've got that much. You've snapped it off there and it's got another 4 inches below it. You know, it just, they're really difficult. Interestingly, while I was away, I heard some news. I haven't verified this news, so you'll have to verify it yourself, but it seemed like it was true. I heard some news about an Israeli invention, which you might think is common sense. I thought it was common sense. Well, apparently it wasn't common sense. I can't believe that something like that could be so effective. What is it? This is the story that I heard. A man left to go on holiday, and he forgot to turn off his hose pipe at the tap. It was sealed at the other end, so the hose was under pressure. It was watertight. As far as he was concerned, it was okay. But he forgot that he hadn't turned the tap off. On his return from holiday, he saw that his lemon tree, when he returned, had developed ripe fruit and was looking really healthy. And on closer inspection, he realized that just as the hose pipe past the root of the tree, there was a very tiny hole in it. And it was just given a constant drip of water. And it was just enough of a drip of water so that the roots never dried out. The ground remained just moist enough. So when he got back to it, he wondered, why is that tree looking so healthy? And it's got fruit on. Nothing that he'd done. It was that constant drip from a hole in his pressurized hose pipe. Now, this simple use of constant, minimal water has made this man very rich, because he cashed in on it, the idea. And now, that system is used all over the world as the best and most economic form of water irrigation. Not too little water, and not too much that you're just flushing it away. It's going exactly where it's supposed to be, and it does exactly what is needed, and produces the best crop. Now, while we were out in Spain, I realised that the countryside is widely planted with fruit trees, and especially where we lived, olive trees. Acres and acres and acres of olive trees. And when you look closely, you see these black tubes. Because these trees are grown in perfectly straight lines, and along these straight lines are these little black hose pipes. And each hose pipe has got a little hole at the base of every tree. You look at the ground, you think the ground's dry and parched. And as you look at it, it is. But at the base of each tree, there's a little drip of water. And they look absolutely marvellous, these trees. You'd think they were grown in this country, the amount of water they appear to be getting. You know, it's such an obvious thing to do. But who would take the time and the effort to do that? I guess it all depends on whether you think it's a good investment or not. Whether the time, the money, the effort is actually worth it. So what's with the title of the sermon then? Nothing so far. Although our neighbour faithfully watered the flowers in their pots, that's all he did, because I didn't ask him to do anything else. Right? Although the plants looked healthy and not dying, some of them were no longer as colourful as they were before we left. And that wasn't the neighbour's fault. It was because some of the plants had been allowed to go to seed. And their flowers had dropped off. And seeds had replaced them. And this is another visual aid I brought for the children that were not here. Just, isn't it? Just can't rely on them. See? Aren't they lovely? But they're not flowers. Their flowers had dropped off, and seeds, these things, had replaced them. There wasn't anything wrong with the plants. They were doing exactly what God designed them to do. They produced flowers. They attract bees and pollinated insects. And then they produce fruit in the form of seeds. Right? If we find them attractive in the meantime, I guess that's a plus point and gives glory to God. Or at least it should give glory to God, shouldn't it? The problem in this case was that even if God had designed them to produce seeds and reproduce, that's not what we want necessarily, is it? Being fickle and maybe a bit fleshy, we want lots and lots of flowers. So, how do you make plants produce more flowers? You deadhead them. Sadly, you have to cut the withered flowers off. The very ones that are turning into seeds. The very ones that are trying to reproduce. The very ones that are doing exactly what God told them to do, which was, when you've got enough food and water, reproduce. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. We've not looked at any scripture yet. Oh, yes, we did. We looked at the first bit at the beginning, didn't we? Psalm 42, 1-2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Now, this one is Ecclesiastes 3, 11 to 14. Now, think about these flowers fading. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for man to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Revere him. Give glory to God. We have, as a human race, a terrible habit of interfering with God's design. We just can't leave things alone. We're always meddling, fiddling with stuff. It started way back in time. Genesis 2, 16 to 17, I believe it started here. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." You've heard it many times before. But from that time onwards, man has been giving his opinion on what is good and what is bad. And nowadays, that is tending towards saying that what God says is wrong, man says is right. And vice versa. Did you know from the point of conception you are designed by God to be either male or female? It's in your DNA at the point of inception. God never gave you a command or a right to meddle with that, even if you feel like arguing about it. And that started back in Genesis 1, 27 to 28. Where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" We've done a lot of what God intended. But because we have our own opinion of what is right and wrong, we have, as God knew in advance we would, started both destroying the earth and everything in it, including ourselves. Even by deadheading plants and flowers, we are interfering with God's plan in a very small way. He gave us the authority to do that, but we do interfere. We want more flowers, so we make sure that it happens. We don't like, do we, to see our human bodies getting older. What are you doing nodding? You should be shaking your head. And maturing. So we have a facelift, maybe. Or we have a tummy tuck. Maybe we start dyeing our hair. That's Yorkshire hair. Dyeing your hair. When it starts going grey. The trouble with all those things, and let's face it, we all do it to some extent. I mean, a lot of old men, you know, cut the hair out of their nose and things like that. Don't they? They do, don't they? Why do you do that? Why don't you just leave it? Because we don't want to look like a toilet brush. That's what we do it. We just do, you know. But even so, you know, if you dye your roots, eventually the roots will show. And if you have a tummy tuck or you have a little bit of a, you know, I thought about this. Just about there would do it, wouldn't it? Takes 10 years off me, just there. Right? But even if you were to do that, your skin will continue to sag after you've done it. You can't stop it. However, there is a different kind of beauty. a kind that is much deeper and does not depend on your age, on your wealth, on your access to private health care, BUPA, or anything else. It's not performance related. And 1 Peter gives you a clue. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Your beauty, and it's not necessarily talking about women, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Isn't that lovely? I like that. It doesn't say that you can't braid your hair. It doesn't say you can't wear gold jewelry. And it doesn't say you can't wear nice clothes. It says your beauty should not come from that. Unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Humility. Doing what God designed you to do. And to cheer the men up, here's one for the men. Proverbs 16:31. Grey hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Yours is very dark, Roy. Oh, I see. Yeah. You know why they call it a crown of splendor? It's because, there's a bit missing in the middle. So it looks like a crown. You know, we find it just too difficult to accept the truth sometimes, don't we? I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. Therefore we do not lose heart. Hopefully we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, outwardly we are, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Don't be put off by what you see, by your lines and your creases and things like that. It's temporary. How are we being renewed day by day then? When it often feels like we're just getting old, aching. Your eyes are getting weaker. You need glasses. Our flowers have fallen off. And the fruit that we bear seems to be small and maybe puny. Sounds oh so sad. Even in Lamentations, someone laments. Lamentations 3:18 to 26. Why is it called Lamentations? Because everybody's lamenting. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind. And therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And we know what that salvation is and who that salvation is. We know it's all in Jesus and about Jesus. Perhaps you're struggling today. Maybe you've got money issues, money problems, or employment problems, or difficulties with your children. Or maybe you have health problems, and that just about covers everyone here, I would have thought. James 1, 9-12. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich, he should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The crown of life. Its beauty is destroyed. Didn't say that he's destroyed. Just the beauty. Humility is always a good thing in God's eyes. If you have to be proud about anything, it would be better to be about what Jesus has done for you, rather than anything that you think you've achieved in your own right. If you've got to be proud about Jesus. Proud that he thought that you were worthy of paying out his life for you. Pride is not really something that should be encouraged, I think. It is, after all, apparently, one of the seven deadly sins. And I've put them up for you to look at, just in case you've forgotten what they were. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth or sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. And even though I don't think they appear exactly quite like that in the Bible, it's interesting, isn't it, that gay pride is supposed to be a good thing. I just thought I'd throw that one in for you to think about, because I heard about it over recently, a case of what is it to be proud about? But there we go, meddling again. Anyway, let's get back to the point. Remember the irrigation system? Remember what makes it so effective? It's not the quantity of water that it delivers. It's the constant trickle or flow that does the trick. The plants or trees are not allowed to dry out and suffer drought. They don't get stressed. That's a term used in botany. Plant gets stressed. They are at peace. They're confident. And they get on with their great commission, their own great commission, which is to produce fruit in keeping with what God designed them to be and what God designed them to do. Now, you can decide to look after yourself in a similar kind of way, or you can decide that you know of a better way. You can read a little bit of God's word every day, or you can decide to skip a few days, and maybe even a few weeks, and then gorge yourself with so much that perhaps you can't take it in. Same with sermons, I guess. If you only listen to messages once a week, you'll not be as spiritually healthy as someone who is constantly drip-fed with good, healthy teaching. So why wait until you're stressed? You're disappointed. Perhaps you're angry. Perhaps you're sad. Perhaps you become a little bit depressed or in some other kind of pain and distress. Remember what I said about the weeds? Weeds in lawns are extremely difficult to pull out by the roots when they are reaching enough water. However, yesterday, Yesterday I came down and I cut the grass at the front of this chapel. And to my amazement, and I've never noticed this before, even though the weeds look green, right, because the ground was still very dry, I managed to pull out nearly every one of those weeds with long roots without any effort. Weeds this long, just grab them and they were coming out. That's because it was too dry down there. The moral of the story, even when someone looks okay, they might be suffering from lack of water. Or even worse, in a Christian's life, they might look okay and even think they're okay, but in reality, they might be suffering a drought. We all need a constant supply of nourishment from God. So don't fool yourself by what you look like, what you made yourself look like, or what other people think you look like, or comment about how you look. You might need deadheading, because the fruit that you're currently producing might not be the kind of fruit that God wants or intended for you to produce. It's possible, just possible, that you need to recap, to go back, to start again. Not that all the fruit in your life has been a waste of time, but possibly right now you need to go back to when you last heard God speaking to you, and what he was saying, what he was asking you to do, what you believe you heard. Did you act on that? On the other hand, speaking more positively, maybe you have learned how to feed yourself, and maybe you are growing up in all the right ways. I just want to finish with something, again, something I've never seen before, and I was really cheered by it. Yesterday was really sunny, and it was a lovely day, very light winds, blue sky, little bits of cloud. And I should have been writing my sermon, but I wasn't. I was out bringing in the washing in off the line, I think, if I remember correctly. And I heard these little cheeps. And I looked up at the apex of the bungalow, which is up there. I thought, they're swallows, they are, sat on the ridge of my roof. And I looked around and there were swallows flying all over the place. I thought, what time of year is it? What are they doing? Should they be thinking about going home now? No. They're all hunting, gathering, getting all the little flies. But there were three that didn't move on top of the ridge of this roof. And I looked at them, I thought, they're definitely swallows. And they're big. So what's wrong with them? Why are they not flying around? So you get pigeons up there. You hear them first thing, I am a pigeon. I am a pigeon. And what do the collared doves say? United. United. Right? That's pigeons and doves. On this occasion, these little things went like that. There's a little huddle of swallows. I watched them for a while and I couldn't understand why they were sitting tight together. They were looking at the other ones, flying around in circles and dive bombing and catching. You can't see the flies, but you know what they're doing. They're like bats, in the daytime bats. It was a lovely day. So why were they not moving? So I kept watching. I kept watching and watching and watching. And every now and again, these three swallows went like that, flapped their wings and went like that with their mouths. They could fly, they got up there, but they couldn't feed. They'd learnt to fly. They were up there, but they couldn't feed themselves. They were watching their parents and listening. They're like bats listening to each other. And every now and again, one swallow would come in and it would go to the top of the roof, drop off a bit of food and go off again. In all my 60 years, I've never seen this happen. I've seen lots of things in nature. I've never seen that. It was ever so impressive. And all the time they were doing that, they were learning. They were sat there. They weren't just waiting to be fed. They were learning. How do you do this? I want to do this. How do you do this? How do you do that? They go, flap, 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 open, eat. Flap, 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 open, eat. Right? The whole purpose of what was happening there was for the youngsters to learn from their parents and then copy it, put it into action. They would soon, hopefully, learn how to feed themselves. And then they'd find a mate, and then they'd be fruitful, and then they pass on what they learned and go on and on and on. And that's exactly what God designed them to do. Okay, I want to finish with a bit of scripture, encouraging scripture from John 15:16. Remember this, you did not choose me, God says. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And that goes alongside with delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your hearts. Father, we thank you for the way you create things, the way you've given us your word, Lord, the way that you've called us to be your sons and daughters. You've called us to Jesus. You've shown us the way. And like those little swallows, Lord, we need to watch and learn and then put it into practice and feed ourselves. But we don't necessarily need to be together in this place to do that. We can do it at home. We can do it first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Whenever, Lord, we're hungry and we're thirsty. And even when we think we're not hungry and thirsty, we still need to feed. We still need to drink. And Lord, we need you. Every minute of every day, as we grow older and older and become mature, Lord, and one day we will return to you. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks. Amen.